sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled.
1 Corinthians chapter 7 tonight. The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. Last time we were together, we covered verses 1 down through verse number 9. So tonight we pick up in verse number 10, and we'll go down to verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse number 10. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning down in verse number 10. And here the Apostle Paul writes these inspired words. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. And if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you, Lord, for our King James Bible. And we pray as we look into it, Father, that we would take its instruction, we would heed its counsel and advice, and that, Father, we'd be mindful of it as we live a life trying to please you in our day, that, Father, we'd not be swayed by society, by the world's values and the world's opinions, but, God, we'd be true to the word of God. Teach us and instruct us in the areas of which Paul has written in the verses that we're looking at tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week in verses 1 through 9, we looked at what we called the matter of marriage. And it was about singleness. Alrighty, he said it is a good for a man not to touch a woman. And we saw that there's nothing wrong with singleness. Sometimes people think, well, if you're not married, there's something wrong. And it might be that if you're not married, there's something right. And Paul says that it's easier for a single person to serve God because they don't have to be restricted with the cares of this world. Now, Paul is not anti-marriage in that writing, but he's answering questions, as we saw in verse number 1, that the church at Corinth had asked him about. They had difficulties. They had problems. They needed godly counsel and advice in the area of marriage. And thank God, Paul was willing to step up and give them the counsel and advice that they needed. Because I'm sure there was a lot of other counselors in their day. I'm sure there were plenty of self-help books and how-to books written by Socrates, Aristotle, or their like back in that day. But thankfully, the church turned to the Apostle Paul and said, Paul, here's the questions we've got. Is it all right to be single? And Paul said, yes, it is. Then when we get to verse number 10, he says, and to the married I command. So now he's writing to married people. The issue is not singleness. The issue is separation. He says in verse number 11, or the end of verse number 10, let not the wife depart from her husband. And the end of verse 11, and let not the husband put away his wife. It would appear that in the church of Corinth that they were having problems. And the problems were that single people were staying together, living together, and married people were separating. And they're writing to Paul for some advice and counsel. I was trying to put those words both together in one word. advice and counsel on how to handle this situation. And so Paul writes to them some what we might say, some very difficult things to understand. I think I might have mentioned this last week, and I'll mention again. I have a preacher who's with the Lord now, but ministered for many, many, many years. And he has a collection online. He's got all of his sermons. Somebody has taken them and put them in order from Genesis through Revelation. Put all of his sermons in order like that. And as you can go back to Genesis and look up certain passages and verses. You can go to any book in the Bible, look up those certain sermons and all that, and they're alliterated and they're very good illustrations. I enjoy reading them and using them in research as I prepare messages. And when I went back to that, and over his long ministry, he'd preach on certain passages more than one time. So there would be four or five sermons on the same text with different outlines about that same one. And just a wealth of information and Bible study that I thoroughly enjoy. And so I thought as I was going through 1 Corinthians, I would go and get some help from him and some advice or some things that he said. And here's what I noticed. When I got to 1 Corinthians 7, there wasn't a single sermon or outline or message on anything in 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 8, there's not a peep, nothing. And out of hundreds and hundreds of sermons that are online on every chapter and every passage and every text in the Bible. And chapter 6, there were several of them and repeats that he preached over the years. And chapter 9, there were several of them, many he re-preached over the years. But chapter 7 and chapter 8, absolute silence, absolutely nothing there. I thought, thanks a lot, pal. Thanks for your help. It is a difficult passage, and yet it really is not. It's clear. Sometimes we try to complicate, as I've said so many times, we try to complicate what God makes simple. And we try to simplify what God does make complicated. When I say complicated, I say, okay, the book of Revelation. Explain that to me in 5 minutes, the whole thing, all right? That's a little complicated. The book of Hosea, chapter 1. And we won't get in, but explain that to me, what's going on there, all right? Some things are a little hard to understand, but some things are not. And Paul, in dealing with singleness in verse 1 through 9, if we looked at it, really, it was pretty clear. If you can remain single, stay single, and serve God. If you can't remain single, avoid fornication, get married, and serve God. Pretty clear. Now, again, contradictory to the world, and the world's system and the world's opinion, so sometimes we want to make it sound like it's difficult when it really isn't. And then when it comes now to the area of marriage in verse number 10, the church at Corinth had a problem. Here were a bunch of heathens, like the ones that Bruce and Connie saw at Walmart today. They were telling me after the message this morning that they saw a bunch of heathens today. The church at Corinth, as we saw when we started the study of this book, was a very godless culture. A lot of false worshiping of false gods and a lot of wisdom, worldly wisdom and ungodly wisdom involved. And these people were heathens. The church of Corinth was heathen. Morally, sexually, everything. They were heathens. And now some of them were converted. Some of them had come to faith in Christ. But they've got a lot of baggage. They've got a lot of stuff in their background, in their past. And now when they come to this area of marriage, there's a lot that's gone on in their backgrounds and their past, and they're not sure how to handle those things and what to do about them. And so verse 1 says, they wrote to Paul for some counsel and advice on how to handle their difficult situations within a church body and a church congregation there in Corinth. Again, thankfully, they wrote to Paul and got his counsel and his advice. And he says in verse 10, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. So my outline tonight is simply twofold. Verse 10 and 11 is the voice of authority. Because Paul says, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Then in verse number 13, or verse 12, he says, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Now we'll talk about that in just a moment, but first was the voice of authority, now is the voice of the apostle. And that goes from verse 12 down to verse number 17. So we've got two different things to look at tonight. The voice of authority, what the Lord says. the voice of the apostle, what the apostle Paul says, and we'll see that they're not contradictory, they're complementary. Paul does not overthrow what God said, does not contradict what God says, but adds to what God says, and when he writes it under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and so it's the Word of God. Let's look at the voice of authority as Paul writes in verse number 10 and says, "Unto the married I command, yet not I." Again, verse 1 through 9, he's writing to those that are single, and now he writes to those that are married. There must have been some troubles. Some troubles right there in River City. No, not River City. Anybody know where I went? John, you got it, didn't you? All right. There's some troubles in River City. That starts with T and that rhymes with P. And that Nani's got it. Okay. The rest of you are just culturally deprived. That's all there is to it. All right. There's some trouble there in Corinth. And Paul is going to address it. He says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband." So this must have been an issue. This must have been a problem in the church at Corinth, that men were leaving their wives. Not only that, or the wives were leaving the husbands, and then at the end of verse 11, "And let not the husband put away his wife." Something was going on in Corinth that was causing separation. Men to leave their wives, wives to leave their husbands. And Paul writes and says, don't do it. Let not the wife depart from her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. Can I tell you, that's God's original intent and that's God's plan. That when two people come together, the two become one flesh. I've seen advertisements on television for a new sitcom. And sitcoms are 30 minutes of brain cells dying. That's all sitcoms are. It doesn't matter what sitcom it is. I mean, maybe if you go back to, you know, Archie Bunker and Edith, that's different. But anyways, today, sitcoms are just your brain cells dying. And there's one that's called, and I don't remember, it's Somebody in Mandy's First Marriage. All right, and I forget what the guy's name is, but Somebody in Mandy's First Marriage. And I thought, why don't they just call it Somebody in Mandy's Marriage? I mean, that to me, they're intimating that it's temporary. It's not going to last a long time. This is their first marriage. There's going to be more than one. And that's kind of the world's mentality to it. We talked about it last week. It's not to be entered into lightly or unadvisedly. That's what the old minister's words used to be in the vows of putting two people together. But anymore, it's not that way. Paul's reiterating the fact that when two become one, they become one flesh. And he says, let not the wife depart from her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. It is a permanent situation. And we need to get back to emphasizing the permanence of marriage. I think we have peaked. I hope we've peaked. I've read statistics in years gone by that out of all the marriages, 50% were ending in divorce. And I think by statistics we've come down off of that, but I think the problem is because most people just aren't getting married anymore, so it's not happening like that. The statistics never tell the whole story. But Paul is emphasizing the intent of God, the permanence of the situation. For the married woman in verse 10, for the married man in verse number 11, don't depart. Don't put the other one away. It is the permanence of the situation. And yet, verse 11, but and if she depart. Paul is a realist. He sees what's going on at the church of Corinth. And he says, all right, sometimes you can't stop it. Sometimes one of the two gets it in their mind that they're leaving, they're going. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can sweat it out. You can pray to your heart's content. You can talk to people. You can get counsel. You can get advice. But sometimes one of the people is just going to be determined this isn't going to go any farther. And the Bible says that if she depart, if she makes that decision, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. So Paul, it's almost as if Paul is giving I hate to use that word. I don't like the word loophole, because this is inspired scripture. But he's saying, here's God's original intent, but there are extenuating circumstances. Can we say it that way? Look back. Keep your place there. Let's look back at Matthew. Wasn't sure we'd get into this or not, but look at Matthew chapter 19. Paul really is the New Testament Moses. All right, the great leader in the New Testament. The great Moses was the leader of Israel. Paul is the leader of the church. And Paul is doing in 1 Corinthians 7 what Moses did back in his law. And that is not contradicting what God has said, but making something complementary, easing the burden, if we can say it that way. Look at Matthew, and I'm still trying to turn there. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? I see the Pharisees were saying, you know, if this is what the scholars say, if your wife burned the supper, you could write her a bill of divorcement. Now, I don't know if that was true or not. And for every new marriage, that would be a disaster, all right? So, can a man put away his wife for every cause? And he said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Original intent. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, he'll cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, and here's the problem, why did Moses then command to give writing of divorcement and to put her away? If this was God's plan, why did Moses allow this to happen? And Jesus said to them in verse 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. There's original intent, and then there's one exception. And so Moses, looking upon the people and seeing that it happened, no matter how intent you were, it still happens, wrote and gave permission for a bill of divorcement to be able to put the wife away. And again, when he did that, he was writing under inspiration of God. And so now Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, here's what God's desire. Man and wife, stay together, stay together, stay together, stay together. Is it going to be easy? I'll ask any married person here. No. All right? Male and female, we are made differently. And thank God for that. But that makes adjustments. And those adjustments, you know, we always say this, the honeymoon period, you know, the first year after marriage, everything's just great. And then the honeymoon period kind of wears off and you start wearing on one another and your differences start showing and difficulties rise up and all that. And you know what the nice thing is? When you see people that are married 40, 50, 60 years, you know what that means? They never have any disagreements. They never look at things differently. Right, Daryl, Linda? Everything's just peachy, hunky. No, you know better than that. You know that it takes work until the day you die, or until the day one of the two of you die. It's a constant work. It's a constant effort. And so going into marriage, people need to realize, hey, this isn't going to be an easy thing. It's going to take work. You're going to go through struggles. That's why the old vows, again. People like to write their new vows. That's contemporary. That's a new thing. That's great. And what they got rid of, you know, in sickness and in health, in rich, and I forget the words now right now. It's been a while. In richness and poorness or whatever the words are. Whatever, you know, you're making the promises and all that. And you realize those things are going to happen in the marriage. And you're prepared for them, and you understand that, and you sign up on the dotted line at the beginning saying, I know that's going to happen, but I'm in this for the long haul. It's not so-and-so and Mandy's first marriage. It's only marriage. You have to have that attitude going in, or it is going to fail. And then Paul says, but if she depart, if somebody is determined they're going to leave, Paul puts a condition on it, let her remain unmarried. Or let her first be reconciled to her husband. So Paul is giving the voice of authority and giving us the original intent of the marriage situation. saying to single people, if you can remain single, stay single. If you can't, then get married. And once you get married, realize you're in it for life. It's a permanent situation. Till death do us part. That's the model. That's the ideal. Now, we'll talk about that more when we get down later in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul addresses this issue later, but that's where we're at the beginning of these verses. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. The voice of authority. Then in verse 12 he says, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. The voice of the apostle. Now again, I'll say this. This is not contradictory, but complementary. Paul is giving more information. Knowing that it's going to be this way, knowing it's going to be difficult and challenging, and knowing that some are going to be so hard-hearted and so determined, Paul says, I'm going to give you some instruction on how to handle this when one of them does depart. He said in verse 12, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Boy, this is not a 2,000-year-old situation, though it is. This is a modern-day situation. How many times do we hear the story? Maybe some of you experienced the story. A believing wife with an unbelieving husband. And he is not on board with church, not on board with the things of God, not on board with the Bible, not on board with her tithing or taking the children to church or whatever it might be. You know what the Bible says? Let her not put him away. Let him not put her away. Maybe it's the opposite. The man, and this doesn't seem to happen as often, but it can happen also. The man is a Christian and married to a lady that's not. And he wants to serve God. He wants to go all out. And she's not on board. She's not with it. She's not there. And he just says, well, I'll just get rid of her and get me another wife. No, Paul says, let her not depart. Don't put him away. Can you see that Paul's writing to the church at Corinth at this time where the gospel is a brand new thing? And the gospel has gone into that community and many have got saved, and now there are divided homes. There is division in the household. The wife has been saved or the husband's been saved and the other one hasn't, and that's going to bring a sword. Jesus said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And sometimes it's the husband against the wife or the husband or the wife against the children, because the word of God has come in and made a difference. And so Paul tells us in these verses, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. He says that it's no excuse, it's no reason to put her away. That's the rule. It would appear that the gospel came to the church at Corinth, or came to the city of Corinth, and was dividing families right down the middle. Those that had together worshiped heathen gods, those together sought the materialistic values and things of the world and of Corinth, now the glorious light of the gospel has shone in, and some of them have committed themselves to Christ, and it's caused some friction in the home, caused some division. And the church of Corinth was asking Paul, what do we do about this? Do we separate? Do we divorce? Do we break up because of this? What are we going to do about the kids? What are we going to do about our marriage? How are we going to handle this? And Paul says, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And then he says in verse 13, and the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Paul is giving, again, very express statements that God is for the marriage staying together. Even in this case where there is a division in the home over faith. Why would Paul encourage that? Why would Paul recommend that? Doesn't he write to us and say, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath light with darkness, Christ with Belial? And here's an unequal situation. A saved woman and a lost husband, or a saved man and a lost wife. And you know what Paul's saying? Don't leave. Don't put them away. If they're content to stay, then keep them there. Why? Verse number 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Now the word sanctifying is not the word saved. So he's not saying it. This is not household salvation, where because the wife is a believer, the husband will get to go to heaven because he's married to her. But she is sanctified. What does the word sanctified mean? When we study it as a doctrine, it means set apart. And as long as she is in that home as a believer and yet married to him as an unbeliever, he's got influence. He's got something in front of him that he can see and his eyes can behold. Remember what Peter told us over in the New Testament, that the believing woman will win her husband by her chaste conversation coupled with fear, not with the outward adorning of this and that, but by her lifestyle and by the way she lives. That's what Paul is telling us right here. Don't leave that man. That man needs the gospel. That man needs. It might be rough. It might be hard. There might be times, verse 11, where she has to leave. I appreciate that Paul recognized that. But that ought to be an extreme situation for her to have to leave. You say, preacher, what is that extreme situation? I can't even tell you what it is, because it's different with everybody. You know, we would say that domestic violence would be a good reason for a man to leave her husband, to separate from him. And I would not disagree with that. But I would not necessarily say you have to do that. That's why I appreciate Paul's wording and how he tactfully is saying this. If she'd be pleased to dwell with him, let her dwell with him. I remember the case in Micronesia. Not on Koh Shrai where I pastored, but on Panape where I got trained before I went over there. And there was a lady in the church, and she had gotten saved. She had actually come from America, come out there, and she got into this church and she got saved, and then she ended up marrying one of the young men. I don't know how she met him, but he was related to the other people, probably going to church at the time or anything, but it turned out he wasn't a Christian. She married him, and when I was there, and afterward, for years and years, she suffered what I would call extreme physical abuse. She was beaten because he'd go out and get drunk, and he would just get out of control, and he'd come home and he would do that. And the pastor, and I listened as her pastor and the others counseled her and said, you're justified in separating, you're justifying in moving, you're justified in taking your son and getting out and getting away. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But she did. She said, no, I'm going to stay with him. I'm going to stay there. And I'm glad to tell you that years and years later, I got word back from there that that woman's husband got saved. And he quit drinking. And he became a vital part in the church that they were a part of. And now it's ideal. Now it's perfect. But what she went through at the time. And we would tell her, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay if you want to separate. And I wouldn't disagree with that. She chose not to, and it worked out even better. So be careful. Be careful. Paul says, if she depart, let her remain. But let not the wife depart from her husband. So he gives us both options and both things there. For the believing husband is sanctified by the wife, and the believing wife is sanctified by the husband. Elsewhere, your children unclean. And by that, it simply means without the gospel, without an influence, without a witness. But now are they holy. Many a child has gotten saved through mom's influence when dad was not a believer. How about young Timothy, whose mother and grandmother taught him the scriptures when his father was a Greek and a heathen and an unbeliever? So it says, now are your children elsewhere your children unclean, but now they are holy. Then in verse 15 it says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. Don't put him away. Don't put them away and don't leave them. But if they depart, if they make the decision, let them depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. Now there's a lot to be said in that one phrase, not under bondage. They're married to them, but the person leaves and they're gone. Notice verse number 27. We'll just jump down to there again. This is a different passage with a different subject matter, but verse 27, Paul says, "Art thou bound unto a wife?" Now, please don't miss it. That's bondage, okay? Now, I don't mean that in a bad way, but that's what Paul's referring to, is bondage, being united, being tied to someone. "Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned." So when it says a brother or sister is not under bondage, I take that to mean that if the unbelieving departs, that other one doesn't have to remain unmarried or be reconciled, but is free to marry again, but in the Lord. She's no longer, or he's no longer, in bondage if the other one makes the decision to leave. We call that desertion, I think, in our modern day terminology. And again, in the Bible, the desertion was based on a lack of faith, not sharing the same faith in the Savior. That was the church at Corinth at the time. Verse 16, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" You know what I can't help but think of when I read that? Brother Paul Ionello. Remember Brother Ionello being with us, his testimony of his wife being a Christian and trying to get him to go to church and invite him to church, and he got so mad that he put her on a plane and sent her back to her parents in Florida. And her dad in Florida said, "That's your husband. I'm putting you back on the plane. You're going back to him. You submit to him. If he wants you to shut up, then you shut up. If he doesn't want you hounding him, then you don't hound him." And she went back to him, and if you remember the testimony, it's a powerful testimony. She went back to him and toned it down, I guess, from what we would say. But he couldn't get away from the conviction, and he ended up getting saved. Now he's in the ministry, been preaching for many, many years. You say, what was it? He was won by the conversation of his wife. He was won. Whether knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? That's one example of so many that are out there, of one spouse being saved because of the other. And here's the church at Corinth, where the gospel's never been, and it's introduced, and it has come into these families and into these homes, and Paul is helping them to cope with the division that it has caused and giving them some counsel on how to handle that. Verse 17, "But as God hath distributed to every man, some to be single, some to be married. As God has distributed every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk." It was distributed to Paul to be unmarried. It was distributed to others to be married. And Paul says, to whatever it is, walk in that calling. The end of verse 17, "And so ordain I in the church at Corinth." That's not what it says, is it? You know what Paul, you know what authority Paul had? "And so ordain I in all churches." That means the words and the counsel of Paul from 1 Corinthians 7 are good for the church in 2025 anywhere in the world. Because by inspiration of the Spirit of God, Paul's counsel and advice, even when he says, And thus I command, not the Lord, but I," he says, "and so let it be in all the churches." It's not optional. We're not going to vote on it. We're going to take what Paul says and say, this is the way you handle that situation. You got an unbelieving spouse? Stay with them. Put up with them. Go through whatever you got to go through. Don't put them away. Don't leave. If they leave, you're not under bondage, but don't put them away. Stay faithful to God and serve Him, and pray for their salvation, because it can happen. It's happened many times before. Paul talking about the issue of separation. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.